You are listening to the Teen Anxiety Maze, and I'm your host, Cynthia Kofel. Imagine a world where the teenage years are less like a maze of anxiety and more like a thrilling ride of self-discovery. I'm here to help teens, parents, and everyone in between grow and learn about themselves. Let's dive in. Thank you for joining me for episode number 167. Today, we are going to talk about another kind of anxiety. So much on my podcast, I've talked about what, like the cortex, the cerebral cortex kind of anxiety where we have anxious thoughts. And I've had a lot of episodes about that and a lot of episodes about how to deal with your thoughts and how to reframe your thoughts. And I think my Halloween episode was, are you being haunted by your thoughts? Like so much of everything that goes on with us is our thoughts, and we can look at them and we can analyze it and try to be curious about what's going on. And that definitely causes anxiety. And I would say the kind of anxiety that I experience is that kind of anxiety. So I wanted to talk to you about a different kind that is just as important. And it's not that the kind that we're going to talk about today doesn't happen for some people, and it does. It actually is part of the anxiety response that everyone has, because it's part of the chemical part, the brain reaction part of anxiety. But sometimes people's anxiety originates in one way or the other. So like I was saying, mine is thought provoked. Like I think about stuff and then that's what causes me to be anxious. Where some people, like my daughter, the story that I told last week, and if you didn't listen to my rebranding, why I'm rebranding and why it all makes sense, episode number 166, you should go back and listen to that. But her anxiety is produced more in her brain, kind of almost without her knowledge or without her being able to think about it as much. Now, not that she doesn't have anxious thoughts that cause anxiety. Of course she does. I think everyone has that to some extent. But some people have this brain chemistry part that's happening that kind of creates even more of a response. And probably most people who have anxiety disorders, panic attacks, it's probably coming from the brain instead of the thoughts, at least at first. So today I'm going to be talking to you about the amygdala. Now, the amygdala, and I was having a hard time saying that, but I've been practicing a lot. And I don't know why I was having trouble with that name, because there's nothing in it that's tricky, but I don't know. Maybe I was trying to make it be a different word. But anyway, the amygdala is in the brain, and it's just a tiny almond-shaped structure, and it is part of the body's alarm system. And we've talked about the alarm system before, because in part of some of the anxiety episodes from before, we talked about how to quiet the alarm system. We can't turn it off. Remember, it's part of us staying alive. And again, the amygdala is just going to work in our brain the way it was created to work, which is to alert our body that something is wrong and that we need to do something, or we need to hide, or we need to, you know, do something for our survival. And sometimes our anxiety starts there and we can't really pinpoint why we're feeling anxious, or we can't find any thoughts that are associated, or any situation really at that time that's that is part of that response. So when your amygdala perceives danger, whether it's from our thoughts that we've kind of worked ourselves up in, or it just perceives it and we're just going along with our day like nothing, it creates this fight or flight response, which then dumps a bunch of chemicals in our body, and a lot of responses start happening, like heavy breathing or shallow breathing or increased heart rate, because all these different chemicals are being dumped in our body so that we can survive. And you can also think about the alert system as kind of like a smoke detector. And sometimes our smoke detectors in our houses go off and we're like, wait a minute, why is that going off? Because there's something, you know, wrong with it, or the batteries are going low or whatever. So you can think about the amygdala sometimes gets mixed up about what should be causing that response. Now, our brains are being formed and shaped before we're even born. So there is even studies where moms that experienced a lot of stress. So if the mom is experiencing stress and the amygdala is going off, that alert system's going off, and all these chemicals are flooding into her body, they're also flooding into the baby's body even before it's born. And if that mother, as a pregnant mother, was experiencing abuse or just like a lot of trauma things going on, then the baby is going to have, the brain is already starting to learn trauma responses or things to trauma that it doesn't even understand, that it won't even remember. And even as after they're born, as babies or toddlers, things that go on in their lives that they'll never remember are affecting their brain chemistry and the way that their brain reacts to things. And so this kind of anxiety is called amygdala-based memories. So the amygdala remembers things that happened, or remembers or associates response with certain stimuli. And then when it thinks that that is going on, it will create this anxiety response inside of someone, even though they're just going on about their business. One of the examples was, you know, if you're driving along and all of a sudden something jumps out in front of your car, you know, you slam on the brakes. You didn't think, oh, I'm going to slam on the brakes because something has happened. You don't even think. You're just like slamming on the brakes and you feel that rush of adrenaline and all the stuff going on in your body. And like, sometimes it takes a while to like, whew, I got to take a deep breath. I've got to calm down from that. Or maybe somebody jumps out from behind a door, or I know this has happened to me so many times. Like, you go into a dark room and when you first turn on the light, you might be startled by something because it looks like a person or it looks like an animal's there. You know, I've had that startle response so often when I go in my garage when it's dark and I turn on the light and something might be laying there and I'm like, oh my gosh, is that a possum or I don't know, whatever, those kinds of things. And I'm also freaked out about spiders. So if I just see like black fuzz on the floor, I might be like, oh my gosh, a spider. And then I'm like, oh no, that's just a piece of fuzz. And that all that kind of stuff happens so split second. We're not thinking about any of it. And so our brain starts to connect things, and our brain starts to connect things that maybe shouldn't be associated. Like, it thinks about smells and sights and things it hears. And then if something negative or positive happens with those, associated with those, then it creates those responses for us later on. Think about, I don't think my mom had a signature scent, or my grandma. I didn't have a lot of time with my grandma, but like, some people associate like a certain perfume with their grandma or their mom. And so even when that person's not around, if you smell that scent, you're like, oh, that smells like my mom. And if you've had a positive relationship with your mom or grandma, then you feel good. And you're like, oh, that, you know, I remember my mom or my grandma. But if somebody was abusive to you and they wore a certain scent, and then you smelled that scent some other time, your body might automatically react in a panicked way, or at least some kind of anxiety or some like confusion. And again, it might have been something from as a baby or a toddler that you don't even remember why that's a connection. Or it could be something that you do know what the connection is and you just maybe forget about it, or you don't realize it because your brain smells that smell or hears that sound or sees some certain thing that it already associated with positive or negative. The same thing can happen like if a child gets bit by a dog, it may then associate all dogs as being dangerous. And it's good that our brain does this because that's, again, how we stay alive. But all dogs are not dangerous. And maybe the family wants a dog, or maybe one of the grandparents has a dog, and then you have to figure out, how do we help this child who has this fear panic response to dogs? And again, that could be more into the therapy realm, because some of this amygdala-based memory stuff, I mean, we will definitely be working on this in the podcast, and there are things that you can do just from listening to what I tell you, or just some tips I'm going to give in social media. But a lot of times, this type of anxiety requires a diagnosis or medication or therapy to walk you through different things. Like like with this dog situation, if a dog bit a child and then they're terrified of dogs always and have a lot of fear responses about dogs, then, you know, maybe they are going to need to walk through a lot of things that are kind of intensive to get them to get over that fear of dogs. And the things that we talk about here would be helpful to them to add on to that. They would probably also need therapy or other thing and medication, things like that, to help them. There are also chemicals in our brains that help regulate our moods and emotions, and some people have too much or too little of those chemicals. And there are medications for that as well. Now, there's two different types of medications, and I don't know how much I want to get into that, but I will say that I wrote some of these down because I didn't know the difference. There are medications like Xanax, Ativan, and Klonopin that actually sedate somewhat the amygdala, because a person's amygdala might be so oversensitive or causing so much panic or so much anxiety that a person needs to take those kind of medications that kind of like soften it or cushion it or sedate it to where it doesn't work so much or it doesn't get overstimulated by things. But there's also medications, and these are the kind that my daughter take. And I am not a doctor, and you would probably have to look up these more, but they have to do with the other chemicals that might not be working as much, like the transmitter chemicals that in our brain, when we have different synapses and things going on, there's chemicals that help release or help the message get to all the right places. And sometimes those chemicals are not working correctly. And so there are medications, a whole different set of medications that you can take that help that part. And I may get into that. I haven't decided how deep in the weeds I want to get into all that because I'm not a doctor and I couldn't possibly learn enough about it to really tell you good things. But I just wanted you to know that there is a difference kind of in the type of medication you could take. And that the type of medication that sedates your amygdala, it's harder for you to learn new ways of dealing with things because since it's amygdala, some of it's amygdala based, if you're sedating it, but then trying to learn new things to help it, it's not getting the message as clearly. If you're taking some of the other types of medicines, it can help you take in that information a little bit better. So hopefully that's not too technical because I don't want to be technical on this. I want it to be understandable. I want it to be something that you can use. So the reason that that type of anxiety is so hard to understand is because it just happens and you're like, wait a minute, why am I having this panic attack? Or why am I feeling so anxious about the situation? And it's because it's maybe past your memories. Like it might be a time when you don't even remember, but your brain remembers it. So just kind of helpful for you because I think sometimes people feel like they're going crazy and this doesn't have anything to do with being crazy. It actually means your brain's working really well. We just want it to maybe not work so well in some of those situations. So I wanted to read some statements to you because these statements have to do with the amygdala-based memories, and I wanted you to kind of have an idea of what is that about. I notice my heart pounding strongly or my heart rate increasing in certain situations. I avoid certain experiences, situations, or locations without consciously intending to do so. I keep watching or checking on certain things even when I don't really need to. I can't relax or let my guard down in a specific location or type of location. Seemingly insignificant events can make me worry. I can end up in a complete panic very quickly. In certain situations, I feel very angry to the point of wanting to physically fight, but I know that it doesn't make sense. I feel a strong urge to escape from certain situations. I feel overwhelmed and can't think clearly in certain settings. Under certain circumstances, I feel paralyzed and can't get myself to do anything. In stressful situations, I can't breathe at a normal rate. I develop a lot of muscle tension in certain situations. So when I read those, I can't really pinpoint too many situations for me where I would say that. Now, I definitely feel like I can't think through things sometimes. I get upset about stuff. That is all regular human behavior. But to actually, like, every time I get in a car in the passenger seat, I feel, you know, I don't get any of that kind of stuff. Or every time I walk into school, I don't feel a certain way. So I just want you to think about, you know, where might your anxiety be coming from? That's really what I want you to get out of this episode. Because like I said, I've talked so much about the thought kind, where your anxious thoughts are getting away from you and causing all of these things. Because that's what I'm more familiar with. And that's something that I can pinpoint. I can ask somebody, well, what were you thinking during that time? And a lot of times people can come up with those thoughts. Or where do those thoughts come from? Well, let's look at what your beliefs or whatever. But this that's coming out of your brain and you're like, I don't know why this is happening. It's harder to work on. But good news, we're going to find ways to deal with it, even through this podcast and even on my social media, because there are things to do. But I do want you to know that if you have these amygdala-based memories and your panic attacks and your anxiety seem to be coming out of nowhere and you really can't pinpoint what in the heck is going on, I think it's really important for you to, if you really want to start with your general practitioner, doctor, your pediatrician, whatever, you can start there, but that shouldn't be the end of it. Just taking a medication to feel better should not be the end of what you do with anxiety, because you also need to be learning different thought processes and different other techniques that you can do to help both kinds of anxiety. And just taking a medication and then going on with your life is not really going to fix the problem. You might feel better, but there's still other things that you need to do, and I want to be able to help you with that. So I really think that awareness is part of the healing. And so today was kind of about awareness, like what is this other way of having anxiety and what can I learn about it? And then there's so much to talk about. Well, there'll definitely be other episodes about it and what to do about it. But I wanted you to know that sometimes there is anxiety that does seem to come out of nowhere, and it's based in your brain. And there's a reason why it's there, but, and I don't, for us and for what I would do in life coaching, we wouldn't go back to the root cause of where did all that come from. Now, maybe therapy will do that. And maybe that is what you need to do, because sometimes you have to heal past trauma in order to go forward. But it could also be about the chemicals that are going around, and it isn't about trauma. And so the medication would be helpful, but then you would still need to learn like different ways to deal with it. So if you want to work with someone one-on-one on this stuff, that's what I'm here for. So contact me if you need a one-to-one coach to walk you through your specific kind of anxiety and what to do about it. Or if you're a parent and you're like, I just want to talk to someone to see if this is really even a thing. Because sometimes teenagers and anxiety, like anxiety responses, it's a normal teen response, but it also could be an anxiety response. So then you're like, okay, which is this a thing I should worry about or not? So follow me on social media, because I'm going to be giving tips and tricks along the way to help. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Teen Anxiety Maze. I would love to be your anxiety coach. Just check out my website or social media and send me a message.